thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Church Bibles on page 594. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts and ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Pray with me. Lord God, we bow before your greatness. We bow our lowly hearts to your vast power and love. When we consider your love, we are both weak-kneed in awe and at the same time appreciative of your steadfast love. We call you Father, and you call us your children. It doesn't get any better than that. We offer ourselves to you. Abide in us that we may reflect our heavenly personality. Fill our Pastor Jose to overflowing as he brings us important truths from your word. We pray in Jesus' name.
every once in a while, it happens, right, where Pastor John, he sets out the pulpit schedule for the entire year. Actually, the one we're working with, it's about almost a two-year plan that he has laid out in reference to what we're going to be covering. And every once in a while, we do have the opportunity to sit and work on, well, what is the message going to be? But because of scheduling, and we usually don't have that opportunity as much, right? But I was surprised, right, that when I looked at his notes, right, for this coming week, and how God would bring to mind, right, the same illustration that I'm going to use is the one he's using. He takes a different twist on it, right? But I was like, boy, God, it's amazing how we can read a piece of scripture and the illustration is similar. And the illustration that I want to talk about is self-talk, right? And self-talk has to do with the ongoing narrative that you have going in your head, right? And sometimes self-talk can seem to be a little bit new agey, like we should stay away from it, we should do less of it. But here's the thing, no matter what you do, you can't stop it. You can't stop that recording that's going on in your head, even right now, right? And the thing about that recording, it can either be positive or it could be negative, where you're beating yourself up and you're questioning, I can't believe that happened again, right? And it's a tape that's running, right? In your back of your thought life. And the first time I heard about self-talk was in a class in seminary, and it was Dr. Martin Sanders, right? And he was explaining to all the students, because the class that I was in was, if we are going to do ministry, we should go after the dark parts of our soul, right? And because if we don't go after the dark parts of our soul, they will come out in the middle of ministry. Right? And usually those are the things that hijack a pastor, right? And he talked about, pay attention to that voice. Pay attention whether that voice is encouraging you or discouraging you. Pay attention to what it says. And in other words, be a student of the recording that's in your mind. And be intentional about what is being played over and over again. Right? And because it can help you or it's going to hurt you. Right? And as Pastor John was working on this message, right, during his time, right, he was reminded that our Old Testament professor, Dr. Brian Whitman, right, he would identify the word soul as self, right? So when you look at the Hebrew word for soul, and when you translate it into English, what you have is self, right? And Pastor John would call it this, right? What's your holy self-talk? Right? It's as you're living your life, are you regurgitating God's word as you're going through your day? When some of us wake up in the morning and we do our meditation, our devotions, do we take those words, or throughout our day, and do we allow the tape of our mind to just reiterate what we read early in the morning, or do we let our doubts, our fears, our concerns overwhelm us and almost like erase what God deposited in our minds early in the morning? And when we look at this psalm, right, sometimes you look at a psalm and you try to figure out, well, what was the historical value that David would write this particular psalm? And there's nothing that can tell us whether he was going to war, coming back from war, right? But when you look at it, you can say that this psalm was written in light of him being older, not the younger David, right? And I believe it's older because he knows what it is to be forgiven. He knows what it is to walk with God, right? And his holy self-talk is about, can my inner being bless God, worship God? Worship God in a way that it would glorify him, right? And where he and he alone is the center of our prayer life, our worship life, because nothing else matters, right? Right? That tape that's running over and over again, right? So we're going to look at these words And again, just hear from David's perspective, right, his relationship and ultimately what he was receiving from God as he was trying to give his best to God, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, right? So where it says soul, think of the word self, the inner self, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Right? David wants to worship God. And here's the thing about worshiping and blessing, right? It's sometimes we have this perspective that it's a greater individual bestowing a blessing upon a lesser being, right? But David knew his position in reference to God, right? So as the lesser being, not to say that God needs our blessing or that he needs our worship, but he wants to give his best to God, right? As he's overwhelmed by who God is, bless the Lord, O my soul, right? Do you worship that way? Right? Do you worship that way? Right? And then you ask yourself the question, right? As you leave services today, do you worship God that way on Monday? Do you worship him on Tuesday that way? How about Wednesday, hump day? Right? Where that, where it's like, oh, you know, I got to get over this one. Right? Right? That's the tape that's running in your head, right? But when you remember who God is, right, all of a sudden, he's able to carry you through the whole week. Right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within you. Bless his holy name. He goes on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, right? That's, in Hebrew, there's always that sense of repetition, which means that what was said is important because he wants you to know it, learn it, live it out. And forget not all his benefits, right? Are you living life today knowing that God has bestowed certain benefits upon you? Right? Yeah, you woke up this morning, it was snowing, it was like, oh, let me get this done. Right? Some of us are waiting till later to get it done. Right? And right, it's almost as if the snow can be a bother. And as the snow becomes a bother, we then diminish God's goodness because of the circumstance we find ourselves in, right? And that's why I'm saying, pay attention to the voice in your head, right? Because when things don't go the way we want them to go, all of a sudden, guess who we blame? God, right? God. God, how can you let me go through this? If you're God, why didn't you stop that? If you're God, didn't you hear our prayers? Right? And here's the thing about sin. Sin lays quietly, right? And sin always wants to question God's goodness. Always. There's not a time where sin is going to lift God up and worship him. Right? But to sit back, right? Ask yourself, when was the last time you took an inventory of God's benefits in your life? And you sat and you wrote them down. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, right? And if you can't see it, it's right there, right? There's a partial list of the benefits, right, that he bestows upon us. He forgives your iniquities, right? And iniquity in the Old Testament is conveyed by three terms. Iniquity, which points to our original sin. Trespasses, which is when you cross a boundary. Or sin, which is missing the mark. Right? So here he's using iniquity, original sin, the sin that is in every human being. He forgives it all. He heals all your diseases, right? And some of the commentators, when you read through, well, what's diseases? Most of them will point to spiritual diseases, right? All of those diseases that tend to minimize who God is, right? And who redeems your life from the pit, right? And that word pit is the same word that is used with Joseph when his brothers threw him in the pit, right? And it's a cistern. And here's the picture that you need, right? It's a well that's been dug out of limestone, and the bottom of it looks like a bell, right? So it's hard to climb out of it. But because it's catching all the water, right? When they dry out because of a crack, it's usually left with muck and mud, sometimes up to your knees, right? And that's the picture Scripture wants you to have, where it says, I pulled you out of that pit. And as he pulls you out of the pit, because guess what? You and I cannot climb out of the pit, right? He's the one that crowns you, right? With steadfast love. And that word steadfast love is chesed, right? It's a Hebrew word of his kindness, loving kindness, right? That regardless of how far off you go, he is going to pursue you, right? It's a love that's unexplainable. And then mercy. How many of us need mercy right now? Right? Right. And sometimes the mercy we're looking for is for the things you think about. Lord, like, why do I think that way? What's wrong with me? And what's the next question? Can a believer think that way, Lord? Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle, right? To have the strength like an eagle, right? Let me tell you, after I plowed my driveway, I needed some of this, because I was tired. I was tired, right? You know, it's one of those things, like, right? It's like, am I having a heart attack, right? Because all of a sudden, everything is aching, right? Right, he goes on to say, the Lord works righteousness and just for who are oppressed. Right, and he's busy working. But here's the picture I want, right? That as David is having this intimate conversation with God, all of a sudden David pulls back and he now addresses how God interacts with the nation, with multiple people. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel, right? For God to made known, just stop right there, and his acts, right? And the only way you and I can find those is by reading his word. Because his word is what contains his acts. Right? And then also what you see if you read is his consistency, right? Of wanting to be in relationship with his people. Right? In a little while, we're going to hear about this covenant relationship, right? And it's a relationship that he says, it's a promise that even though you might break, I'm not going to break it. Right? And sometimes when God makes those kinds of commitments with his people, right, that we can be like, Lord, all right, stop. Stop loving me. Stop pursuing me. Right? Leave me alone, right? Because I'm not worthy of this, right? And guess what he does? He presses in, right? He presses in until we get to the other side. And all of a sudden, out of the innermost being, part of us is, bless the Lord, oh my soul, right? And all that is within me, right? Because he knows what we need more than we know what we need. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Isn't that great to know, right? That he, right, even though he has an accurate accounting of your shortcomings, right, he, right, doesn't hold that against us, right? I have this saying from Charles Spurgeon, right, that I want to, in reference to this mercy. All the world tastes of his sparing mercy. Those who hear the gospel partake of his inviting mercy. The saints live by his saving mercy, are preserved by his upholding mercy, are cheered by his consoling mercy, and will enter heaven through his infinite everlasting mercy. Right? I read that, I said, I gotta share that with the congregation, right? Because that's what our God does, right? It's because here's the thing, right? When we struggle, we tend to diminish his mercy, right? It's, we look at our situation, the thing we're going through, and all of a sudden it's like, Lord, where are you? as if he left you, right? As if he's so busy taking care of something else, he is not able to take care of you, right? And but to know, right, that he is present, right? And even when I doubt and question, he doesn't hold that against me. He does not deal with us according to our sin, right? Praise God, right? Right? Because I would blow this one every day, right? It's like, oh, right? Or repay us according to our iniquity. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him, right? And that fear is that relational fear that we have with God. And it's not a fear where we're cowering, right? But it's a fear of remembering who he is and who we are, right? It's like sometimes in our current situation, right? I get annoyed of the casualness that individuals sometimes have with approaching God, right? And we should approach with care and concern, right? But he doesn't deal with me according to my sins or repay me, right? It's like sometimes the thoughts that run through my mind, especially when somebody annoys me, are horrific, right? You would say, Pastor, there's no way that you can think that way. Yes, I do, right? And that's why I need God, right? And I need to do it less and less, right? And by God's grace, I do, right? But every once in a while, it just sneaks up in there. Right. And at that moment I say, Lord, forgive me. That's why, right? I think one of the most important times of our worship is that time where we stop and confess our sins to God. Right. And sometimes people come to me and go, you know what, Jose? It's the service would go so much faster if you eliminated that piece from the service. It's like, no. It's not about it going faster. It's about we're standing before a holy God, right? And for some of us, that's the only time that we remember, say, Lord, forgive me. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. Now, the ancient people, they used to see the heavens as three heavens, right? They used to see the blue sky as one heaven. They used to see the night sky as a second heaven, and then they used to see God above that as the third heaven, right? And it's really in reference of their own perspective. And right, so as high as the heaven that's above the earth, steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us, right? So remember I talked about those three sins, right? Iniquity, sin, transgression, trespasses, right? So he takes care of all of those potential impacts of sin in our lives, right? And here's the thing, right? I really don't know how David knew this, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, right? But when you go east, you will never meet with west, ever. Just like if you was to go west, you will never meet up with east, right? And I need you like to think about that, right? In reference to what God does for you and for me. As a father shows compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. Right? All of a sudden, we're changing gears a little bit and we're receiving the compassion that our Father, our Heavenly Father, has for us. Right? And here's the thing, right? He created us, so He knows what we're made of. Right? And yes, sometimes we think of ourselves a little bit too high. Right? And according to God's word, and especially if we heard last week's message, right? It's, who are we that you are mindful of us when you compare it to everything else that's been created, right? That God would have His eye on us, right? And I believe part of that is because we are image bearers of Him, right? And so He has compassion on us. It's almost like, have you ever had compassion on somebody who should know better, but they don't? Right? It's like, oh, right? In my Spanish culture, right, it's my mother or grandmother would say, oh, pobrecito. Oh. Like, look at you. Right? But it's this posture, right? So God's looking at us as who we are, as He created us, but then He knows, right, our flaws. He knows, right, that we're going to fall short. He knows, and all of a sudden, He shows this compassion, right? As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind passes over it, and it's gone. And its place knows it no more, right? He's talking about God's perspective, right? You know, we're here today, gone tomorrow. And, you know, they say that the average age, right, it's somewhere around 78, 76, right? Females live a little bit longer, right? And then if you put genetics into it, right, it's you can live into your 80s and 90s, right? But when you compare that to eternity, right, our time here on earth is short, right? And it's short, right? And he says, right, it's, don't waste any of that time listening to those old tapes that are running in your head. You're not worth it. You're never going to make it. Who do you think you are? Right? Whatever it is, right? And because here's the thing, God, the one who created you, has His eyes on you, right? And as a response, right, let me worship the one who created me, right? Let me worship Him every minute of every day of my life. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdoms rule over all. Right? So David is a recipient of this steadfast love. Right? And scripture says that he was a man after God's own heart, right? That he worshiped the Lord. And here's the thing, right? It's, we look at David and he blew it, right? He messed up, right? And even though God dealt with his particular sin, right? He knew of God's mercy and love, Right? It's, have you been a recipient of that love? Of that steadfast love in your life? As you walk, as you reflect, right? As you look at your life and you see the good, the bad, the things are, and you say, Lord, just thank you for being there with me through all of it. Yes, it was painful. Yes, there are moments that are glorious. But you are there, right? And it's to those who keep his covenant. And then when you read the scriptures, you see all different covenants. But just because he places a covenant doesn't mean that he voids it and then gives you another covenant. They're all interconnected. And all of them lead to the covenant of grace, which we find in our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That he would have grace upon you. That you would keep his covenant to be in this ongoing relationship with him. That he and he alone would be the only one that you would worship, that you would seek. Right? And to hear these words that he establishes his throne means that it isn't going to be moved. It's there. His kingdom is established. Right? And then we end where we started. Right? And it's not as if he says it just once. It's not like he says it twice. He says it over and over. Bless the Lord. Oh, you his angels, his mighty ones, who do his words, obeying the voice of his words. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on up. Right, and as we kind of wrap this up, right, and we wrap it up where it started because we are right where we started. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Right, and here's the question I have for you. Here's the question I have for myself, right? What story am I telling myself right now? What story are you telling yourself right now? Right. And my hope is that regardless of the current situation that you find yourself in, that you would not use that grid in order to see God. Right. My hope is that you would see God above your pain, your suffering, that you would see God above the things you're celebrating in life. To know that we have a God who loves you, right? It's like some of us think we know what love is, right? It's, but when scripture talks about this steadfast love, and then we see that love expressed through the giving of his son, our Lord and Savior, right? It's, I don't know if I would do that for you, let alone for myself, right? But he, our God, did that, right? He knows we're weak. He knows we're frail. He knows we're going to doubt, we're going to question, right? But he wants us to spend time with him and his word. And for some of us, we do that quite a bit, right? Whether we're commuting, it's like we are infused with God's word because we know that if we don't spend that time in God's word, the person we end up being is not going to be a good person. Right? It's like, oh, right? It's, But here's the thing, right? Sometimes we do that out of fear of who we're going to be or act out like. Right? Do it because he's God. Then see what happens in your heart as a result of that. But either way, spend time in his word. Spend time worshiping, singing, right? And if you pray while you drive, do it with your eyes open. But what story are you telling yourself right now? Right? And my hope and prayer is that God loves you. He loves you. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for this psalm that David wrote so many years ago. The very shepherd boy that you would pick out of all his brothers. Because you would see something that nobody else would see. And Lord, and just like you saw David, you see something in each and every one of us that sometimes we don't see. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to update the tapes that are in our minds. And for some of us, may we see ourselves the way you see us. And Lord, let us live this relationship that we have with you out in this world, so that when this world sees us, they would see a changed individual and they would ask the question, what do you do? And our simple answer is, let me tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus, the very one who crowns each and every one of us with his righteousness, because he loves us. He loves us. We thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.